Tribute, and I'm Maria Shakil. On 19th, by this hour, the first phase would be over. It's exactly a week to go for the first phase, and the spotlight is on the first-time voters. Of the 97 crore registered voters, 1.8 crore are first-time voters. And the young voters in the age bracket of 20 to 29 are a whopping 19.7 crore. So special reach-out or outreach is happening. Prime Minister Modi met India's top seven gamers and discussed gaming and aspirations of youth. Their combined YouTube and Instagram followers is 5 crore. Yes, you heard that right. 5 crore is the combined following that these YouTubers or gamers have. Mr. Modi also discussed esports industry with them. Remember last month, Prime Minister Modi had conferred the newly formed National Creators Award to online content creators, and most of them are redefining, reshaping the social media world. In fact, a recent survey that was done by Lokniti CSDS dives into the political preferences of the first-time voters. It was done in the month of January. The data suggests that BJP has a substantial lead with 70% support, indicating a widespread belief among the first-time voters that the BJP is best suited for national governance. The most standout achievement of the Modi government, according to this group, was development, garnering 20% approval, followed by 11% acknowledging that the government's effort in protecting religious interests was of interest to them. The response of first-time voters outlines the steady decline of the Congress and the rise of the BJP across decades. A good way to look at this data is to slice it or splice it into political eras. In the period between 1950 and 1960, which is effectively the Nehruvian era, 48% and 47% of the first-time voters chose the Congress. In the 1970s, the preference for the Congress slipped dramatically to 28.7%. And this trend, in fact, reflects the impact of emergency and also the fact that the Indira era also showcased left-leaning economic policies. In the 1980s, the preference of first-time voters shifted back to the Congress, with 47% choosing to vote for the party. The share of the first-time voters choosing the Congress slid to 32% in the 1990s. The thin edge over other parties actually explains two black swan events: the assassination of Rajiv Gandhi in 1991 and the support for the opening up of the economy and liberalization, which was unleashed by P.V. Narasimha Rao. Thereafter, the data reveals a decline in the preference for the Congress and a marked shift towards the BJP. And in the arrival of the Modi era, there is a near vertical rise, with the BJP projecting itself as the party which responds to the grievances of the youth. And in fact, 44% of the first-time voters preferred it. So, on the show we ask, a week ahead of the real battle, first-timers, are they moving to Prime Minister Modi? Joining me here in the studio, Sanjay Kumar, professor of CSDS, political analyst and sociologist. He wears multiple hats. We have Adil Singh Boparai, spokesperson of the Congress, Amitabh Tiwari, political strategist, Abhinandita Mathur, spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party, Sanju Verma, national spokesperson of the BJP, Nishtha Gautam, senior journalist, Naman Mathur, and Payal Dhare are gamers who actually met the Prime Minister. So before I bring in the analyst, let me try and understand what's the driving force. Payal and Naman, you met the Prime Minister. He spoke about the aspirations. Tell us what exactly was it. Payal.
Yeah, we discussed things like increasing number of games based on Indian mythology, the perception of gaming as career in India, and the participation of women in the industry, and a lot more.
Okay. Naman, what according to you was the big takeaway?
He tried to understand every bit of it. You know, all these youngsters in today's generation want to play games and probably build a career out of it. And that is something what our Honorable Prime Minister wanted to understand. Is it really possible to make a career out of it? And that is something which we discussed in the entire session, which is going to be launched on 13th April.
And the session was how long, and what was, was it about Mr. Modi gauging the mood of the youth through you? Because all of you combine support, viewers or followers is very, very high, or subscribers?
What we had around 2.5 hours with him. He played games with us. He also, you know, tried to understand everything. He also asked us, you know, where does the global market lie in front of the Indian market? So yeah, there were a lot of such discussions. But what I personally felt was he tried to understand our journey as gamers and how did we reach where we are right now and how would esports and gaming rise in India in the near future.
Okay, and Payal, you know, we are yet to get the full video, but the teaser certainly shows that there was a great degree of involvement that we have seen. In recent times, the Prime Minister has met the influencers. Then he has met the gamers. Did you get a surprise when you got the call that, you know, you would be indeed meeting the Prime Minister of India?
Yeah, we were actually not sure that we actually got the call to be there to sit in front of our Prime Minister. And at the time we got the call, all of us were very nervous. And the time he entered the room, everything got changed. The vibe was totally changed. And he made us very comfortable around him. We discussed about the upcoming generation of gaming, how we can change the gaming scenario in India, how can we help in growing in recent years. And we discussed a lot more, and he gave us around 2.5 hours to discuss all of that. And even he played games with us. So yeah, it is kind of a surreal experience.
Was it about lingo, certain, you know, phrases that your generation uses that the Prime Minister was aware of or was not aware of, Naman?
Yeah, there were certain lingos which he wasn't aware of. But yeah, there were one or two lingos that he was aware of. And that is something really, you know, humorous and fun to watch. It's probably going to be released tomorrow in the video.
All right. A quick word, Payal. You know, because we are in the middle of the election season and this certainly was a big interaction with all of you because you are big in the space which is driven or which has a lot of influencers or creative people, the youth of India, the first-time voters and also the young voters. Did you understand that he understands the challenges of online gaming as well?
Yeah, he was very curious to know about the gaming scenario, the environment, what we are facing, what we are doing. Because gaming in India is very new. And if we talk about the female gaming scene in India, it has been steadily growing in recent years. And while like gaming is a very male-dominant activity, and even more women are participating actively. So he was very curious to know about the whole gaming scenario, how the youth is more involved in it. So I think, yeah, he is aware of everything, what youth likes, what the younger generation wants.
All right, Naman and Payal, thank you so much for joining us. That was actually setting up the discussion on the big fight. Let me bring in all the analysts now, and I'm going to begin with you, Sanjay Kumar. There is a method in these meetings. Gamers who are very powerful on online world, then there was National Creators Award. There is an outreach, there is messaging, and the word that these gamers actually used in this conversation that Mr. Modi was curious, he wanted to fix our challenges, but at the same time, he was aware of certain lingos, he wanted to understand us.
I think this is all strategies how to campaign for the 2024 Lok Sabha election. Two things he is trying to demonstrate. One, the connect he has with the common people of this country in every sections of the society, and look at this, the age segment, the young voters, the target is the young voters. So that's the message which he is trying to send out. He has a good connect with all kinds of people. He has an eye on what is happening on the ground with a special eye on the young voters of this country. I think that's the strategy which is being adopted by Prime Minister Modi.
Okay. Amitabh, aspirations, realization also that this is an important segment and he should be in sync with what they are, you know, what they are thinking. One may actually think about what the Congress or Aam Aadmi Party have said so far, that this is about, you know, reaching out to them, but not addressing their real concerns. Are there real concerns about the challenges in the online gaming world or others?
Well, see, 18 to 29 age group is roughly 20% of the total voting population. So this is a huge number which can change elections. Plus, this age section is largely influenced by social media. So they have a larger presence and they spend a lot of time on social media. Many of the guys whom were met were influencers in their own life, so they could influence the other voting segments. And what is most important is the fact that this 18 to 19 first time voter has not interacted with any politician, and herein what comes crucially is the Modi ki Paathshala, because when he takes the lectures for people who are going to appear in exams in 10th and 12th, he has laid the foundation for these voters translating into voters of BJP 2-3 years behind, whereas no other leader perhaps is interacting with this 15 to 18 age group. So that's how he has built this voter base, I think.
Okay. Adil, you're smiling.
I'm smiling.
Why is the Congress party not able to build a similar strategy?
Well, Maria, I'm smiling because showmanship in drama is not a substitute for governance. Choreographed stunts without decisive policy intervention is meaningless. Now, any discussion on the issue of youth is incomplete without the phenomenal survey which has been conducted by Mr. Sanjay Kumar on the issue of unemployment. Now, let me, for the benefit of your viewers, share some baffling statistics. As per the International Labour Organization, the share of jobless Indians vis-a-vis the youth is 83%. In other words, 83% of jobless Indians are the youth in this country. Let me tell you, and this is a matter of record highlighted by the CMIE and also bears testimony in terms of the survey which has been conducted, a perceptional survey which has been conducted by Mr. Sanjay Kumar, that the youth of this country today believes that the unemployment problem has worsened, point number one. Point number two, which is again a finding of his survey, that today the youth in this country is finding it difficult to secure formal or informal employment. So therefore, having these stunts on the eve of the elections, despite your extremely dismal record on economic parameters, does not deserve any kind of consideration, in my opinion.
So you are not addressing real issues of the youth. That's what the Congress says.
You know, Maya, first and foremost, thanks for that excellent bit from the young gamers, which put things in perspective. You know, I have a couple of points to make. Without being offensive to the ILO or any other international agency, I would like to quote from the NSSO survey. And the NSSO survey says that vis-a-vis an unemployment rate of 6.1% in 2018, it fell to 5.8% in 2019, 4.8% in 2020, 4.2% in 2021, 4.1% in 2022, and unemployment hit a record low of 3.1%. You heard that right, 3.1% in 2023. Now, forget about percentages, because percentages can be very baffling and may not necessarily convey the right picture. But Maria, in 20 seconds, we were a $2.1 trillion economy as recently as 2016. Today, we are a $3.8 trillion economy. That is a massive 81% jump. As per CBDT, they've taken out some data based on what taxpayers paid way back in 2011. The median income of an average Indian taxpayer in 2011 under a thoroughly incompetent Congress government was 2.2 lakh per annum. In 2023, the median income of an average Indian taxpayer is 13.4 lakh rupees per annum, which is a 509% jump. You know, ye log kehte hain jobs nahi hain. We have today more than 100,000 startups with more than 110 unicorns. Zepto was the 110th unicorn which raised $200 million aise hi without a track record in 2023. But be that as it may, today we have an auto industry which is worth $20 billion plus. We have a civil aviation and tourism industry worth $27 billion. Our annual exports are more than $750 billion. Our forex reserves are at an all-time high of $648 billion. Our agro and agro processing industry is worth $32 billion. Hmm. Our infrastructure industry is worth $687 billion.
Yes, I request you to allow me to make an interjection to this.
You know,
this
there is that data
unfair.
Which was shared by Sanju. Will you respond to that? That you know,
Maria,
perhaps the CMI and
can
other agencies are
Mr.
not able
Sanjay
to capture.
Mr. Sanjay Kumar, he's sitting here.
Can I finish? Can I make my last point, please?
This is not a monologue, Mr. Kumar. Respond
okay,
in fact.
Can I just finish? Yes.
Thank you. In 10 seconds.
Yeah.
We have an infrastructure industry worth $687 billion. And as per the EPFO and ESIC data, I believe our EPFO and ESIC data, it says 28 lakh subscribers join the EPFO and ESIC
okay,
every month. Even if...
Can I make an interjection?
Focusing on first-time voters.
Can I make a short interjection?
This unemployment
now,
narrative
please
is
allow
a
me
hoax.
To complete. Yeah. Now, the proof of the pudding lies in this statistic. 73% of India's wealth is owned by 1% Indians. This is a matter of record. And the Gentleman's Perceptional Survey conducted across the country demonstrates that unemployment is a burning issue. So the BJP can peddle their WhatsApp propaganda and fudge numbers.
No.
The reality on the
WhatsApp
ground
propaganda.
Is that the common man is
you
suffering. He is
okay,
suffering
right.
on account
let
of
me,
unemployment and he is suffering on account of price
rise. Nishtha, first time unemployment
is at a record.
The spotlight is on them.
20%.
I can't hear a word, Maria.
Yes,
everybody is talking over
yes,
you.
No, we are not. Nobody is out shouting here. This is the big fight, but we you know, have a very dignified discussion. So 20%, as Amitabh was just pointing out, of the total voters of 97 crore are actually first-time voters. And they get influenced by whom? If they have not seen a politician or not interacted. You know, we have a newsroom in which some of them are in their early 20s and we try and explain to them what was the generation like. They are completely disconnected. For them... those gamers would have perhaps more recall value.
Right. So I believe the question that you want me to answer is how much of an impact has this particular outreach made?
Where?
It cannot be underestimated at all. It can be showmanship, and credit where it is due. Our Prime Minister is actually very good at this game of showmanship. And if you are in, you are holding a public office, and if you are doing a political campaign, and our Prime Minister, Honorable Prime Minister, is never out of the campaign mode. So I think we have to hand him due credit that this was actually a masterstroke to win the first time voters, the young voters, over to his side. And as you rightly said, that people who have not even had any sort of interaction, good, bad, ugly interaction with any politician, would not even know what the benchmark is. So for them, if the country's prime minister addresses them directly, and Amitabh just said that this base is actually created via his Man Ki Baat and Pariksha Pe Charcha program. And in one of the shows, Maria, we discussed how the BJP is a party that likes to wait. It is not in a hurry. Right from the 1980s, you know, I was born in the 80s, and from then to 2024, it has come a long way. It barely won what a couple of seats. And it was a jhadu fight by Mrs. Gandhi, right? And now look at where it has reached. What does it tell us? That the party does whatever it takes. And I also agree with Adil here that, and you know what, Mari, let me just say this to the spokesperson, the very enthusiastic Congress Party spokesperson, that the kind of enthusiasm that they show in newsrooms is actually quite commendable, only if it translated on
okay.
ground. Is-
I get that. I get your point. Adil, before you respond to that, Anandita, you know, there is this, let me ask you, what is the India bloc doing to have an outreach towards these first time voters?
Okay. Firstly, you know,
how are you addressing their concerns, and also what are you telling them as an alternative thought?
Okay. So firstly, you know, we must acknowledge the excitement of these young people to meet the Prime Minister. As anyone should be excited, they are excited. But the fact is that it is this government and this Prime Minister, in this Prime Minister Modi's leadership, that the tax is levied on gaming industries was so high some of the companies that were making 17 crore were getting to were having to pay charges of 10,000 crore as GST, and a lot of people would have been unemployed if it was not for the intervention of the opposition, including the Aam Aadmi Party, who had come out and done a press conference on it. So it is a bit like hathi ke daant dikhane ke aur khane ke aur. The other thing is that BJP is very good at this kind of marketing, but I think that what happened in India Shining as well is that the gap between the reality and what image BJP wants to portray is very high. It's important to note that even though we know that there are lots of young people, majority young people in the country now, only, this is according to the Election Commission, only 60% first-time voters who could have been first-time voters have actually enrolled as voters. So 60% of them are not going to vote. Only 40% will work and vote, and 60% young people have decided not to vote. I think that is a serious question to ask. The other point about finding an alternative, you know, to the current, you know, I was watching a show on a different channel just before coming here, and I was very amused that there was a very the prominent spokesperson of the BJP, and the young students in the audience asked him very hard questions and he had no answer. Finally, one of them said, okay, you are doing 400 par, then why did you do vote ka chori in Chandigarh? Now, these are things that if you're not going to answer questions, if you're not going, if you're only going to put out your fake data, etc.
Will you respond to this, Sanju?
Maria, thank you. You know, I do agree on one point with Abhinandita. I think we need to have more first-time voters getting registered, because, you know, this is once in 5 years kind of an opportunity which should not be missed. And I'm sure that the relevant agencies will ensure that we have maximum turnout in terms of the first-time young voters. Having said that, let me very quickly make a few points. You know, I don't know, there was one lady who spoke prior to me. She made some innuendos about, you know, Prime Minister... Yes, fine. She made some innuendos about, you know, Prime Minister is always in campaign mode and showmanship and blah, blah, blah. You know, this is exactly the kind of narrative that has completely demolished Rahul Gandhi and the entire Congress party ecosystem, because this very lot, including Ms. Gautam, and with no offense to you, Ms. Gautam, you know, this is that lot which fails to recognize a couple of things, and very quickly, without being verbose. The world's largest financial inclusion scheme, Jan Dhan Yojana, with more than 52 crore bank accounts opened, of which 72% belong to poor Dalit and Adivasi women. This lot will not talk about that. The world's largest health insurance scheme, Ayushman Bharat, bigger than ever Obamacare ever was. More than 26 crore cards issued via Ayushman Bharat. The world's largest self-employment scheme, because employment seems to be such a big issue in the entire narrative. 43 crore loan applications processed via the Mudra Yojana, out of which 300 million, as in 30 crore, were women beneficiaries. 1 minute. 4 crore houses given under PM Awas Yojana.
Two versus one. Yes, go ahead.
4 crore houses given under PM Awas Yojana, more than 11.5 crore toilets built.
One moment.
Can you imagine? You know, Maria, I was seeing a show on your channel a couple of days back where there was an interview of a young girl from Amethi. Very quickly, young girl from Amethi. And what I found very, you know, touching was when she said, कि 5-6 साल पहले तो अमेठी में टॉयलेट्स नहीं थे, इसलिए हमारे माता-पिता हमें स्कूल भेजने से कतराते थे. इमेजिन.
Madam, if we believe you, if we believe your spiel,
let him finish.
If we believe your spiel, that would mean that India started after 2014. I'm sorry.
I'm coming to you. Adil, patient.
Maria, this is not fair.
We have enough time.
She's got more time than any one of us.
Have you noticed one thing? I have not heckled anyone. The heckling has been from the other side,
yes,
including a very rattled Congress spokesperson.
Ma'am, please,
please hold your horses.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Bopra, you'll get your turn.
Yeah.
This girl said she could not attend school because of lack of toilet facilities. Imagine young adolescent girls being deprived of education because of basic necessities.
Quick response from you, and then I'll bring in.
You'll have to give me 60 seconds.
Yes, please, go ahead.
You'll have to give me 60 seconds.
You'll get
because
all of your 60 seconds.
There are three issues which I want to touch upon for the benefit of your viewers.
Yes.
I'll tell you what a master stroke is, Ms. Verma.
a masterstroke is the right to apprenticeship, which has been proposed by the Congress Party.
Now look at her.
Now look at her. This is just not fair. Maria, you have to intervene.
Is you losing Madhya Pradesh.
Maria, is this a slanging match or is this a debate?
Yes, please.
But you'll have to mute her. We can't have a debate like this.
Sanju, he was patiently listening to you.
I can do the same thing when she's speaking.
He was patiently listening to you, Sanju.
This debate will not go anywhere then.
Let's extend that courtesy, please.
You've been heckling me every time.
Courtesy doesn't exist in the BJP dictionary.
One moment.
If you heckle me, I will show you the mirror. Okay, I'll speak to you in a language.
Please be ready for heckling when your turn comes. Let me assure you now.
You are okay, Adil. Unfortunately.
Adil.
No, she has to ask Adil.
The anchor is
Sanju. Please.
You are not the anchor.
Please.
This is not your press conference,
ma'am. Okay, go ahead. Adil, quickly. Okay, only Adil on the screen now, please. Yes.
Now, there are three issues which I would like to share with the viewers. Yes. Number one, a masterstroke. The right to apprenticeship which has been proposed by the Congress Party. A scheme where every youth of this country who's a diploma holder under the age of 25 will get 1 year of formal employment with a stipend of 1 lakh rupees. This is something which is indeed a masterstroke. Number two, it is the Congress Party which undertook the largest mass contact program in the history of independent India, which is the Bharat Jodo Yatra. And now let me share some statistics with you, because price rise even hurts the youth of this country. Over the past 24 months, and please see the percentage increase in the rise of essential commodities. For example, for rice, the increase is 39%. For wheat, the increase is 31%. For atta, it is 36%. For gram dal, it is 74%. For arhar dal, it is 124%. For urad dal, it is 110%. For groundnut oil, it is 190%. For mustard oil, it is 157%. For vanspati oil, it is 131%. For potatoes, it is 21%. For onions, it's 35%. Okay. So what does this demonstrate, Maria? Okay. This demonstrates that the youth
now.
Of this country and every
Maria,
other section is backed and broken by
Kumar
price rise. They can peddle lies, but that
patient,
doesn't take away the fact
listening
that
to all
economy
the politicians,
is in distress.
Silence on the floor and only two of them now on the screen. Sanjay Kumar, we are seeing that data also, which was of course done by CSDS, which talked about the acceptability or what is it which are seen as standout achievements of Mr. Modi, and also about the concerns of the first time voters and who they see is best suited to govern. When you ask those questions, one may say that that these were questions which were meant to give a particular kind of response. Those will be the questions which will be asked by your opponents. But overall, that sentiment which was in January, is this something that you're seeing even now?
I don't see any change between January and we are in the month of April. Why only January and April? Even if I look at people's or young voters' opinion about how do they see Prime Minister Modi functioning, what is the image of Prime Minister Modi among the young voters, I don't see much change. Young voters like Prime Minister Modi compared to the other age group of the voters. We have always tried to look at what is the opinion of young voters with regard to the governance and with regard to Prime Minister Modi's work. And we have always figured out that Prime Minister Modi is far more popular among the young voters compared to the other age bracket of the voters. So I'm not surprised. This is coming survey after survey that Prime Minister Modi remains a very popular leader among the young voters of this country.
But let's elaborate a little more on that, because that's, of course, a CSDS Lokniti survey, Sanjay Kumar. Has it really changed or increased in the last 10 years of Prime Minister Modi?
Not much. It has not dipped. It has not gone up. It is almost consistent. If I just cite the data over last couple of years or 3 years, whenever we have done the survey, and in our survey we don't take the name of the Prime Minister and ask whether you like him or not. It's an open-ended question. It's a name recall. Who would you like to see as your next Prime Minister? And roughly in the range of 45% to 47% people of this country take the name of Narendra Modi, which is very high because this is a name recall. Among the young voters, when we bifurcate, among the young voters, it is roughly 5 to 6% higher. So, if at the All India level, among all age group of voter, it is 47%, among young voter, it is 54 or 55%. This is consistent over last couple of years.
If this is the kind of approval rating, Amitabh, Is there any parallel in history to this kind of approval rating? And of course, we are showing that graph, which actually talks about various political events which show the rise and fall of various political parties.
See, essentially, I think, I mean, Sanjay ji would be in a better position to answer. Indira Gandhi, of course, at her peak would have enjoyed this kind of popularity. Even Vajpayee ji would have enjoyed this kind of popularity in terms of prime ministerial ratings when we are discussing. However, both of them did face good amount of competition. So, the issue or the difference here is that the gap between the prime ministerial face of BJP or NDA and the gap between the prime ministerial face of the opposition is significantly high. That is close to almost 40% if you go by the MOTN numbers. Even in CSDS, that would easily be, I think, 20-25% plus. So, that is a huge gap. In an environment where Lok Sabha elections is largely presidential style, where 35-40% of people are voting in the name of the Prime Minister, if Prime Minister Modi gets a significant lead of 20-25% in the prime ministerial rating, then it automatically translates into a vote share lead of 10%. So, this Tina factor, or there is no alternative, or there is no credible alternative, is what is giving advantage to the BJP at this point in time.
Okay.
So, either the opposition has to come up with a leader who matches the popularity of Prime Minister Modi, or there is some black swan event which dents the popularity of Modi. Some of, I mean, either of these two has to work in such a scenario where the contest has to become tighter in the coming 1.5-2 months.
Sanjay Kumar, let's delve a little more on this. What is it that appeals to first-time voters?
Honesty of the Prime Minister, that he carries a very honest image. Second, very hard-working, and he has lifted India's image in the world. So, these are the few attributes which people, whether we are talking about the young voters or we are talking about voters of other age group. So, the big thing is, he is an honest man, he is an honest politician, and this is a rare trait if you talk about Indian politicians.
So, this is a rare trait, and in the absence of a credible face to answer that question of Modi versus who, how will the opposition really build its narrative? Adil?
I think Mr. Sanjay Kumar has disowned his own survey findings, which we extensively discussed last night on Mr. Sardesai's show, because there were three broad templates which his own findings had indicated. Number one, that the youth is finding it difficult to secure a job. Number two, that price rise is a primary burning issue. And number three, the youth of this country and other strata of society and other demographics believe that corruption is increased. So either he disowns his survey.
No,
and
he isn't really disowning. He's responding.
No, let me, I haven't completed
one
now.
Moment.
No, please let me complete. So number three, his own survey indicated that the country believes that corruption is increased. Now, responding on corruption, the electoral bond scheme was the world's largest extortion scheme. Now, let me share the chronology with you. Just bear with me for 20 seconds. You have the enforcement agencies sending notices to individuals and corporate companies. As a result of that, there were raids and arrests which were conducted by the enforcement agencies. You had those individuals who were under investigation either joining hands with the BJP or allying with the BJP or donating money to the BJP. After this exercise of donations and joining hands with the BJP culminated, you had those ED, IT and CBI cases either being put into the cold storage, or you had those cases being closed. So
I'm
now, what does this demonstrate? This
moment,
is a
ma'am.
Classic and a textbook case of extortion.
Fine. Fine, you have made your point. Sanjay Kumar, a quick response from you, and then I bring in Sanju.
I think we are in a moment where people generally believe that the corruption has gone up, but that data doesn't indicate that people are actually pointing their fingers against Prime Minister Narendra Modi. His image still remains clean, and that is the distinction. People are believing that, you know, in the day-to-day life, yes, the corruption has gone up, but no dent on the image of Prime Minister Modi. And that is why surveys after surveys, we get a sense that a very large number of BJP voters vote for the BJP only and only because of Narendra Modi. He's a vote catcher for BJP.
So that is the Modi factor or the Modi voter. Yes, Sanju, you wanted to come in and respond to Adil. Please go ahead.
Maria, I will respond now if I am given loan screen time. I think that's only fair because I don't wish to be heckled. as it's a lopsided debate, you have 4 to 5 people against the BJP. I really don't care. But I need my time to rebut. If you can assure me that, I'm willing to
Please
speak, and you can have the others continue.
Please go ahead.
Yes. First and foremost, let me nail this entire bogey about inflation being, on the uptick. I think people who do not even know how to spell economy do not know the difference between deflation and disinflation. Yahan aakar BJP ko inflation par bhashan dete hain. The recent, just a few hours back, the March 2024 inflation data is out. The inflation for March 2024 is 4.85%, a historic low, and the fuel inflation has come in at -1.6%. Core inflation is 3.3%. Now, despite two black swan events, you had the COVID pandemic, the worst pandemic in 102 years, and you had in 2022 the Russia-Ukraine conflict. You will be surprised to know, but your audience needs to know this, Maria. Despite two black swan events, the highest inflation under the Narendra Modi government was in April 2022 at 7.79%. But the average inflation in the last 10 years is 5.1%. Now compare that to the Congress under Sonia Gandhi's kitchen cabinet. The highest inflation was in November 2013, 14.82%. And the average inflation under the Congress, UPA 1, UPA 2 put together, was a whopping 8.6%. Now let us talk of LPG cylinder prices. The average LPG cylinder prices under the Modi government is 754 rupees. The average LPG cylinder prices under the Congress was 986 rupees.
This is an absolute lie. This figure is a lie. This figure is a lie on LPG prices. No, I'm not going to allow her to mislead the people of this country.
Then we'll not have a debate. You cannot outshout each other. That's not the way it works.
This is a lie.
Can I have just Sanju now on the screen?
I need my time.
This is a lie.
Sanju on the screen now.
Maria, I refuse to debate like this.
Yes, Sanju on the screen. Yes.
Thank you. You know, people who are sitting here and saying lies, lies, lies. I was appalled. And Maria, this, you know, your audience needs to know. The Congress spokesperson said electoral bond is the largest extortion scheme in the world, forgetting very conveniently that if BJP has got 8,200 crores, the Congress has received 1,952 crores via electoral bonds. Electoral bonds, there is a money trail that can be electronically verified. It is far better than having cash or hawala money coming into elections. And I want to tell the Congress party, I am admitting we have taken money via electoral bonds because it's nothing to be ashamed of. But why are you ashamed of the fact that you took money from Quick Supply Solutions?
All
you
right.
took money from Mega Engineering. You took money from Santiago Martin. And last but not the least, Maria,
All right.
I'm closing
okay,
my comments.
We have
comments.
To talk about first-time voters, Sanju.
I'm closing my comments, Maria.
25
we have to talk about first-time voters. Let's put the spotlight on them and not divert.
And you're giving me lecture on morality and ethics.
Anandita, before you start, the LPG cylinder during the Congress period was 500 rupees.
No, we are talking about
She's lying, there is 950 rupees. It was 500 rupees.
Only Abhinandita. None of the politics. Only Abhinandita.
Please don't mislead.
Abhinandita, please. Yes.
I think it's very unfortunate that day in and day out, the BJP spokespersons come on TV with some data and they lie, blatantly lie to the people of this country. Like I said earlier, there is a huge gap between the lies that they fabricate and tell the people and the reality. Now, look at the halat of unemployment. Not only is it at an all-time high, but we also have to look at the quality of employment that the BJP is able to give. I would request Sanju Verma to, instead of doing this bhashan reading some random data, she should actually address the people of this country in a normal, sensical manner. What I mean to say is that aaj hamare ghar mein koi Zomato, Swiggy, whatever, koi bhi service ke liye, with due respect to every profession, koi delivery karne aata hai, many of them are postgraduates and they don't have a job. There are many people who are forced to enter the farming sector because there are no quality jobs. Our production has not increased and the youth does not have the job. These are the questions that Sanju Verma needs to answer. She needs to answer, what have the governments in the states ruled by the BJP, what have they done? Paper phootne ke liye, what have they done? What have they done? Vyapam scam, we all know. Tell us, what have you done about it?
Okay.
Tell us, where are the jobs? Tell us.
Okay.
Women are not. Wait, another point. One more point.
There's no shouting and screaming, ma'am. There's no need to shout and scream.
Can I please finish?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay. Another point that is very important for the young people of this country that Sanju Verma must tell us is, why did Prime Minister Modi did not utter a word when women were being paraded naked in Manipur and our Olympian wrestlers were begging the government to fire.
Okay, now Sanju, these are
important questions for the young people.
Sanju will respond because it's both of you versus her. Sanju will respond now. Yes.
No, I need my own screen time because you have the app spokesperson alone on screen. If you are not going to be fair, I refuse to debate.
Why are you so khatre mein?
No, I refuse to debate like this, Maria. I need my own screen time. I need my own screen time. You have to be fair.
This is unfair.
There is nothing unfair.
She is getting disproportionate amount of time, Maria. No, she is getting more time.
Adil, please.
Maria, can I?
Okay, she can have more time, but she should not be allowed to lie.
Okay.
Maria.
Okay. Sanju, yes. Specific answers, please, about what are your state governments doing.
Give me no screen time, I'll answer.
Address questions which are being asked by the youth of the country, be it on paper leaks or in terms of the questions that have been asked by Abhinandita. Please, specific. Yes.
Yeah. Maria. Maria, it is rich for the Aam Aadmi Party spokesperson to sit here and give a lecture on morality when Arvind Kejriwal is in jail, not due to Sanju Varma. Maria, this is unfair. You know, I did not heckle her even once.
Nobody
Why can't
is
you give me time?
You. Nobody is heckling you. Only Sanju now.
You know, she's already making some
Sanju
stupid
and,
faces.
And the experts on the screen now. Please. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm waiting for Sanju Varma. Yeah.
Yes.
Maria, I have to say this before I answer specific questions. You know, jo kehte hain, bade beabru hokar tere kuche se hum nikle. Bahut mere armaan nikle, lekin phir bhi kuch kam nikle. Aam Aadmi Party had one lone Lok Sabha MP from Jalandhar West, Sushil Rinku. Even he abandoned Kejriwal, saying Kejriwal is the walking, talking epitome of corruption. And just less than 48 hours back, Rajkumar Anand, their social welfare minister, abandoned Aam Aadmi Party, saying Kejriwal is anti-women, anti-Dalit, anti-poor, anti-Adivasi. So I request the Aam Aadmi Party spokesperson to stop doing drama-bazi on national TV. And that too on Maria Shakil show, which is hugely watched. Now coming to specific queries. The LPG cylinder price was for 500 rupees for only a few months. In January 2014, you can go and check this. LPG cylinder prices under Manmohan Singh was 1241 rupees in Mumbai, 1274 rupees in Kolkata, and 1268 rupees in Delhi. So the first point is I'm not lying. Okay. The second point is this. Very quickly, now please bear with me. Maria, let's look at the entire employment issue like this. And by the way, CMI is owned by Mahesh Vyas, who has been a part of the Congress manifesto team, was an acolyte of T. Chidambaram. I will not quote CMI, I will quote NSSO, which is far more reliable. You will be surprised to know, Maria, that 28 lakh people join the EPFO and ESIC every month, which means 3.36 crore subscribers every year, which means in the last 10 years, we have 33.6 crore subscribers. Maan lete hai 34 crores. Now, don't give me credit for the fact that everybody is a first-time employee. Let us take the conversion rate at only 63%, which means only 63% of 34 crore subscribers are first-time employees. It means in the last 10 years, Modi government has given jobs to 21.42 crore people.
2 minutes and 30 seconds.
21.42 crore people.
This is honestly unfair.
Okay, fine.
With due respect.
Fine.
A strike rate of 63%.
Got it, ma'am.
And I'm quoting genuine EPFO data.
Got it, ma'am. Got it, ma'am.
I don't quote from WhatsApp University.
Quickly,
like
1 minute.
Adil, quickly, one moment. The questions.
Yes, the questions.
On the BJP's corruption.
Yes.
On the electoral bond scheme. You have Ashok Chavan, you have Praful Patel, you have Ajit Pawar, you have the Assam Chief Minister, you have Mukul Roy.
And
you have
20.
Again, she's interrupting. This is not unfair. Can I come on the screen alone now?
Ma'am. Sanju,
this is not how you have a
Sanju,
debate.
Sanju,
Ms. Varma.
Sanju, you wanted to speak in peace. Give him the same courtesy. Sanju, you wanted to speak in peace. Let him.
Where is this going?
Only Adil now on the screen now. Yes, Adil, go ahead.
The BJP needs to respond on the electoral bond scam. I again reiterate. You've had the ED and the IT sending notices to several politicians and corporate persons.
Okay.
They are donating money to the BJP or they're joining hands with the BJP. This is a textbook case of corruption and extortion. How does the BJP respond to Ashok Chavan? Has he suddenly become a paragon of integrity? What about Praful Patel? What about Ajit Pawar?
These are leaders against whom none other than the Prime Minister of this country made serious allegations of corruption.
Okay, is how corruption is it that an issue among the first-time voters?
Maria, can I complete?
Yes.
The BJP's washing machine, the BJP's washing machine is itself, it's an enterprise of corruption and extortion. So therefore, it is our promise on behalf of the Congress party
Fine.
That when we come to power, we will investigate this. And the BJP cannot shy away from a categorical
okay.
answer.
Okay, so,
what about Ajit Pawar?
Okay,
what
fine.
About Chavan?
Nishtha
what about Praful
Sanjay
Patel?
Kumar, I want to understand from you first, Sanjay Kumar. Is corruption an issue among the first-time voters?
I'm not saying that this is not an issue among the first-time voters. But as I said earlier, the image of Prime Minister remains intact. There is no dent on the image of Prime Minister. And as I cited the data earlier, a very large number of young voters get attracted to vote for BJP. That has happened in the past. It is only and only because of Narendra Modi. So even if they believe that, yes, there is some corruption, but that's not shaping their voting decision in a big way.
Okay. Nishtha, you wanted to come in. Apologies, I'm coming to you after a long time. There was the politicians were continuing with their,
I really take umbrage to what Ms. Verma said, that there are four or five people against the BJP. I would like to make it very clear on your show, Maria, that I am an independent analyst, and nobody can accuse me of siding with one political party or the other. As a matter of fact, if one were to understand my opening comments, I was actually talking about how good the Prime Minister is. He is your biggest asset. So, Ms. Verma, you are now the kings. Be magnanimous. Don't be so prickly. Yes. Now, coming back to the question that Maria, you have asked me about the first time voters and whether corruption is an issue. Corruption certainly is an issue, but I have to also say this, that in this country and in the world across, and it is counterintuitive, but I've done my research, so I'm opening my mouth here. It is counterintuitive, but the youth anywhere, they are not as rebellious as they would like to see themselves or the older generations would like to see them. Hmm. Their voting patterns in particular are actually defined by three important and very interconnected sort of factors. And let me read those out. It is socialization, you know, the political socialization, how much they have access. BJP is very good at it. Right. So it is no surprise that no matter whether BJP has or has not indulged in corruption by way of electoral bonds, it would still find favor among the youth of this country because of the direct outreach which the opposition parties, despite the Bharat Jodo Yatra, have not been able to accomplish. Second thing is the household culture. It is very, very important. It's not that their voting decisions are made in any kind of isolation. And the third thing is that voting is a matter of habit. So when you start voting for one particular party, you continue. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the first time voter, they usually pick a safe choice, except, you know, the only exception that I have seen has happened. And because it was again, a youth steered victory that was given to Abhinandita's party. In Delhi Assembly elections, Mr. Kejriwal, it has not happened very often. The youth are more conservative.
Yes, and interestingly, the same youth reacts differently in different states as well. We have seen them being drawn towards Tejaswi Yadav in Bihar, for example. Also, you know, young leaders in various states. That has been the case, Amitabh. But if a voter is voting for the first time, then... But is it emotions? Is it sentiments? Is it connect?
It is a mixture of everything, actually. They are also much more socially aware. The literacy and the awareness levels among the youth today is fairly high. Plus, the affinity towards young leaders is fairly automatic. That's why we see Tejaswi Yadav giving tough competition to BJP-led NDA in the 2020 Vidhan Sabha elections. That's why we see Rahul Gandhi being able to establish a connect during his Bharat Jodo Nyay Yatras. It may or may not translate into votes, but the level of connect has been there. And various surveys have shown that people have started liking Rahul after the Bharat Jodo Nyay Yatra. Correct. So it's a mixture of things, and voting is an emotional decision. So for even for youth, I mean, that is not going to change. So that's all these issues are likely to impact the voting decision. But if you look at the decision of the lead, which the 18 to 25 year age bracket, if you see the 2019 elections, actually the lead was the lowest among the 18 to 25. So I would say actually this voting pattern cannot be predicted. It's very, very difficult to predict the voting pattern of the youth, because it is actually rebellious in nature. It challenges status quo, and it takes decisions which are different, or they want to experiment with new things.
Okay.
And
okay, Sanjay Kumar, just you know, taking that thought forward, and I'll give you the last word also, sir. The point here is that if in terms of first time voters, the total number of voters who have registered is far less, then are they rebellious? Are they up for surprises? Or are they those who will say that, you know, I have seen this person, he seems to be more credible or honest, and then I'll go this way?
As Amitabh ji was saying, that very difficult to make a prediction whether they would be rebellious in 2024. They would go along with the charm of Prime Minister Narendra Modi. But if you look at the data in the past, 2014 election, 2019 election, and some state assembly elections, I do get a sense that they get swayed away with the charm of Prime Minister Modi, the promises Prime Minister Modi has made. So I don't get a sense that the young voter who would be voting for the first time in 2024 election would be rebellious. I see them going along with the general mood of the country, which seems to be in favor of BJP at this moment.
Can I get 20 seconds, please?
Yes.
I see a paradox in what Mr. Kumar is saying. If on one hand, the youth of this country is finding it difficult to secure jobs, why would they vote for the BJP? Point number one. If the youth of this country is finding price rise to be hurting them, why would they vote for the BJP? So there is an inherent paradox. Number two, 10 seconds, that's all what I seek from you. Today, the BJP has captured all means of dissemination of information. You see propaganda being thrusted on this country. Let me assure you, there is the silent voter who is repulsed by the BJP's strong arm tactics.
Sanjay Kumar, will you
and
respond to the point that he has made? Yes.
First, yes, youths have shown anxieties about unemployment, but when it comes to having a hope, they still have more hope in Prime Minister Modi that if this problem could be solved, it could be solved better by Narendra Modi compared to any other leader. Also remember, that's not the only thing which youth and the other section of the voters are looking at. Yes, they have anxieties about unemployment and price rise, but they do appreciate several other work done by the BJP government led by Narendra Modi, whether it is Ram Mandir, Hindutva identity, country's, you know, increasing image in the world. So there are a few things which is on the plate of the youth, and when it comes to, if I give the analogy of eating, they have to choose which one they want to consume. And I think on the voting day, as we have seen in the past, the national identity, the sense of India emerging
national
stronger,
pride.
The bigger event takes precedence over the smaller event.
Okay.
And that is how people or the young voters are not going to give more importance to unemployment and price rise, because they think this will come and go. But you need to strengthen the hands of Prime Minister Modi to make India much stronger.
All right. Sahab, thank you so much for joining us. Sanjay Kumar, Adil Singh Boparai, Amitabh Tiwari, Abhinandita Mathur, Sanju Verma, and Nishtha Gautam. That's all from me on this episode of The Big Fight. I'll be coming to you next week with another issue. And of course, this is election season, so there'll be several issues to discuss. Thanks so much for watching.